ACCA, the world's most forward-thinking professional accountancy body.
Welcome to the latest from ACCA, this time devoted to building economic resilience. I'm Alana Briggs, Practice Development Manager here at ACCA. In this series, we'll be discussing related topics with experts and partners to help you through these challenging times. We hope you enjoy listening.
Welcome to this MatchFit Finance podcast brought to you by the ACCA. I'm Simon Goldie, Director of Advocacy at the Finance and Leasing Association, and joining me today is ACCA's Head of Technical and Strategic Engagement, Glenn Collins, and FLA Board Member and Managing Director of SME Finance at Paragon Bank, John Philippou. We will be discussing what small businesses need to do to make sure they get the right finance they need, when they need it, where should they get advice from, what does a funder look for in an application, and who they should go to for finance. Glenn, I want to start by asking, how should small businesses think about finance? How do they decide whether they require debt or equity?
Hi, Simon. Great introduction. Actually, I think we have to go back and look at some of the issues. The current view on the finance landscape, and we've actually seen that in our surveys come through really strongly. So when we're looking at access to finance and whether access to finance is better in the marketplace over the last 12 months, actually nothing came up as better. We saw some real deterioration. Now, if we're looking at it, supply credit, worse by 47% in the last 12 months. And cash flow finance, actually worse by an astonishing 57% in the last 12 months. So that is some really significant figures coming through there. And I think we've got to look at some of that landscape that we're actually in. We know we've got some external economic factors which fit through that are really hurting business and hurting their cash flows. And that's very well documented around energy, around the inflationary areas, around talent and retaining talent. So supply chains is another one of those which comes through very strongly. So we know that, and we also know that people look carefully now when they want to make that investment going forward. Cash flow-based lending, according to some latest research from Whitecap, is actually decreasing, and we've seen some of that availability decrease. Small businesses actually are struggling to forecast some of their cash flows and their cash flow needs coming through. And that's uncertainty. There'll be uncertainty around payment terms coming through, but actually when they're also able to do and push through their products or their services because of those talent shortages or those supply chain shortages. As we said, 57%, and that's an astonishing figure of small businesses coming out, finding that cash flow finance has worsened in the last 12 months. We're also seeing from a lot of that research that a number of businesses are reporting that they're having their finance limits frozen, or actually in some cases, sectors are reporting some of it being withdrawn totally from those sectors. So there's real elements of uncertainty which come into that entire finance market and actually really influence some of our SMEs when they're out there looking for finance. A consequence of that is many actually stop off that important development because they're frightened they're going to run out of cash. And we know that that fear comes through, and actually it is always a lot easier to sit on your hands and do absolutely nothing. Now, none of us want that to happen, so we want to look and we want to, as you rightly say, how can we make that market improvement far, far better? Now, moving on to your second question, debt and equity, really good question. We all know debt is used and is preferred and is probably understood. Equity isn't really understood by a lot of those small businesses. We do need to look and help people sort out that right type, as you said, and right mix of finance going forward. And equity does play an important part of that. But that is all about going back to some basic planning and getting your structure in place so you can access that right type of mix of finance.
Thank you, Glenn. That's a really useful background and context, and also an important point about equity, because of course a lot of small businesses don't actually want to give away the equity in their business, and that is a challenge. Earlier on in the year, the British Business Bank issued the SME Business Finance Report, and that showed that a lot of small businesses were turning to independent specialist banks and using asset finance. So, John, I wonder if you could just give your perspective on what the market's looking like for those small businesses. And then I want to just explore the different types of finance available. But first of all, you just give us a sense of what the market's looking like at the moment.
I think Glenn described it very, very well. There's high levels of uncertainty in the market, and it's a fine balance for lenders between taking an optimistic view on lending and a pessimistic view. And that cusp of uncertainty where clients are seeing challenges with the energy increases, inflation, all those things we described, is permeating into the lender decision. The irony of the statistic on cash flow, finance being down that high, is there's plenty of liquidity in the market. And this is a dichotomy that is difficult to explain, where lots of funders and lenders have got money to deploy, but it's not flowing as freely as it should be into SMEs. And I think that is partly down to what remains quite a complicated way for small businesses to get access to finance. And when you reflect, if you are a unsophisticated business and you've just started a small family firm, or you've been around for a little while and now you've never really borrowed, and now you suddenly start considering this, your route to that finance is not as smooth as everyone believes. Typically, the high street bank is the first port of call, but a lot of businesses are talking to their relationship manager at that bank about overdrafts and about current account and normal other things, and don't want to cross over investments and other parts of the business into there. They also, inside the banks, the relationship managers have built up a great rapport with their client, and they are very hesitant on passing that relationship client to another part of the bank, which is not quite as under the control. And this fear of the ball being dropped can permeate. So you don't always get the best result from sticking with the same bank. So what do the SMEs then do? Well, they stand back, and a lot of them, I have to say, go to Google. And they put in that first search and put in small business loan. And that is hit and hope, because I was doing some research yesterday. And within that top 25, there are definitely some very highly credible lenders that will do a proper job on presenting a solution to the client. However, there are others in there that I think you would have to be a bit wary of. And where I'm coming from is not basically a price-driven assessment. Of course, the rate you get is quite important to the business, but in a changing market environment, the terms and conditions of if you wanted to settle agreement early, if you wanted to change anything mid-term in that agreement, you want to be dealing with a bank that or a lender that can handle that sort of flexibility. And that doesn't always come through in a Google search. Asset finance, which is obviously the world that the FLA inhabit and I inhabit within Paragon, is a bit easier because normally there the supplier may have a relationship with a lender, and obviously there's the broker market as well that serves. What I would say is that the lenders that you deal with through that route, you know, are accredited if they're in the FLA, the code of conduct, and there are lots of things there to protect and ensure that you get the right solution. Without advice, because that is one of the key things, is actually you should be presented with various options, and then you do need to stand back and think, is it right for your business before moving forward? The challenge here is it is a bit of a muddle in terms of how you go through. And of course, therein goes where you can go to an independent advisor, accountancy firm, finance brokers obviously have the plethora of services at their fingertips. The consumer duty changes that are coming in under the regulation, they don't directly affect business lending unless you're a sole trader partner and you come under the Regulation Act. But the principles of informed choice, knowing what you're signing, being presented with various options that are right for your business underpin that. And actually, the essence of this regulation change is to make it clearer and easier to know what the options are. So I think that's a good thing. However, the connectivity to get them is difficult.
Absolutely. I think it is a complex landscape. And John, you said one way of navigating through that landscape is to go to your accountant. I've got to say, if I was setting up a small business, now I know all this because I've been at the FLA and I understand these issues, but if I'd been doing it prior to that, I would have thought of my accountant as somebody who's just going to sort of look at all the finance and do my tax return for me. Glenn, could you explain the worth role of an accountant, what they can bring to a small business, the value they can bring and how they can help them?
Yeah, certainly, Simon. I think to go back to John's point, that importance of cost comes through for an awful lot of SMEs. Actually, there is a real also a great importance in timing and knowing when you're actually going to be able to get that finance through. What I would say for accountants, the value they can actually bring across there is quite considerable, because really as a small business, you want to look at a couple of areas. You want to actually make sure you've got the right data in front of you. You've got some real-time financial data. So you can actually look at your cash flow projections, know where you stand, and actually that does come back to that availability of finance and raising your choice and increasing your choice of finance. Actually, the more time you allow, the more time you can plan ahead is really very, very important. So actually getting some of that real-time data is vital when you're looking and when you're operating and when you're saying, actually, I might need this, or what are the uncertainties that may hit me? Now, you might look and go, that sounds really complex, but actually draw it down and go for the simplest method of cash flow and forecast, which makes a difference to you. Don't worry about some of the mechanics behind that. If you can do it yourself, brilliant. If you need to get somebody else to help and support you, do that. The important thing is you get something in front of you where you're able to look at it and make that decision. So it can be really, really simple. But actually, the importance is getting it set up for the right time and in the right place so you can use it, rather than it's one of those areas that you go, I'm not looking at that because I don't understand it, I dread to look at it. You want it accessible to yourself. So I'd say get yourself some real-time financial data. Another really important element, and John touched on this earlier, is making yourself finance ready. And that is also a really important factor coming through. So when I'm talking, what do we mean by making yourself finance ready? Actually, that's taking care of what you put on the public record. That's actually looking and saying, do I need some of my regular finances kept up to date? Because many of the finance agencies will look at some of this data, both the ones you filed, but actually also stuff you're putting on and you're keeping on some of the digital platforms. And then also take care and look at your own payment practices. We'll probably come on to a number of those areas a bit later, but that is really important for driving up your own credit score, but actually also those practices are really important discipline for you, because you know what you're operating in. And you go back to that earlier point about actually how do I get some real-time financial data. Actually, you're able to do that because you've got a framework in there you're actually working to. So I'd say if you don't feel confident, reach out, get something set up, try it yourself. If you need some more support doing it, reach out, and accountants will actually help you and drive some of that up. And we have a lot of partnerships, and our members have a lot of partnerships, where we're looking at a variety of different financial platforms to give people that greater choice.
Glenn, that's some really useful advice and insight into how small businesses should think about what they're presenting to a lender. I just wonder, John, when you're looking at an application, how are you evaluating it? What are the key things you're looking for? Is it anything additional to what Glenn was saying?
Yes and no. I mean, Glenn mentioned credit scores there at the end there, and that's an interesting topic, because yes, they're important. No, they're not. And I feel like a politician giving that sort of sit on the fence answer. But most lenders, they will use a scoring model of some description as part of their credit application. That may be relying on the credit reference agency, Experian or Equifax, to fire out their version of the score. But it's the interpretation of that that's really important, because if you relied on that alone, the market would be all over the place. Because you need to understand the metrics that go into some of those scores and what drives behaviour. And things such as scores may be related to performance over the previous 3 years, an increase in turnover the last 3 years, longevity of the business. You know, all this adds in, but then you throw in COVID, Ukraine crisis, the cost of living, all those events, the energy crisis, and your dynamics of relying on the score alone go out the window. So you have to stand back from it and look at it in a much broader piece to go forward. So the evaluation needs a mix of both, where you actually have the underlying data. And Glenn, you were so correct in terms of keeping that up-to-date picture, because the lenders, if we rely just on the credit reference agencies and Companies House, that could be 18-month-old data. Things have moved fast. And a business, certainly in a changing environment, there could be a lot more going on positive to enable you to have access to better funding and the right solution if you've got that readily available. And I think as lenders, we need to be adaptable, that it's not one size fits all. that actually how that's presented by a small business to the lender, there is no one formula or one framework that gives that. And the lenders, we set up our business where we have to be adaptable and have people with different skills who are used to looking at different businesses in light of the market they sit in. I think it's really important in a changing economy that we have that sort of view. And as much as AI and all these other modelling things are coming to the table, what's really clear is that you have to stand back. There's a lot of factors in lending in the business world that are not immediately available through an algorithm.
Glenn, John, thank you so much for that excellent insight into a really challenging problem for small businesses, how to get match fit for finance. And I'd like to thank the ACCA as well for hosting this podcast.
Thank you for listening. Check back as we'll have new episodes coming very soon. You can find more support at www.accaglobal.com/economic resilience hub.
This podcast was brought to you by ACCA. Find out how we think ahead at accaglobal.com.